Words can be very hurtful. You know, when I was growing up, we used to have that phrase, especially when I was at boarding school as a little boy in Africa, you know, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. You know, my mother and my father, they always used to say, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Well, I'd like to add to that, names do hurt. Words hurt. Be careful what you say to people. The
Encouraging Word. Welcome to The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton, well-known author and evangelist. Today we continue in a message he began yesterday, Real Believers. But oh, if you missed yesterday, that's all right. You can catch up online at theencouragingword.org, or Dr. Don will catch you up in just a moment. Yesterday we kind of concluded with the concept that, you know, many believed in the repentance based on good works, the idea that the better we do, the more God loves us. Here's the good news. There's nothing, nothing you can do to make God love you more, and nothing you can do to make Him love you less. We're going to study God's love and God's grace today with Dr. Don Wilton as we open God's Word together on this edition of The Encouraging Word with Dr. Don Wilton.
God speaking to you. That's why I'm so glad that we're here today. I tell you what, I love our community and I love America. Folks, let me tell you one of the greatest dangers in America today. Our world is filled with people like Nicodemus. Americans are good people, man. It's just amazing. You've heard me say this many times. I don't think you will find a more generous, kind-hearted people than the American person. I've often said to myself, I wonder where this world today would be without the American. That's why everybody wants to come here. I mean, you can talk about diseases. It's America that steps in the forefront. You can talk about wars. America goes to the rescue. You can talk about building, digging wells to provide water for people to drink. It's America. You talk about sharing blessings. It's America. You talk about people making a difference in people's lives around the world. America is always there. There are people from every other nation. But goodness me, American people have got an incredible religiosity about them. But does that mean to say you and I know Jesus Christ? These people didn't know Him. Now watch this, folks. This is very important to get a hold of. Because what takes place here is that God not only warns us of this. How does He warn us? He says there in chapter 6 and verse 1, listen, believers, listen, all of you who claim to know Me. I don't want you to just be like Nicodemus. And it's time for you to make a decision and settle this thing once and for all. This is an eternal matter of eternal consequence. And you can know that you know that you know that you know that you belong to Jesus. Today I'm going to beg you to give your life to Christ. He says, therefore, leave behind, lay aside the elementary teachings about Christ and take hold of the perfection that we have in Christ. Take hold of what salvation means in your life. Why elementary? Simple teachings. That word there means easy. Just think of our school system. When you talk about elementary, you're talking about beginnings. You're talking about a basic fabric. You're talking about a window to the real thing. You talk about generating an interest in. But the word elementary or elemental speaks more completely to incompleteness. That's why Jesus is complete. The elementary teachings that came out of the New Testament were incomplete. The word elementary there literally means insufficient. That's why Jesus is totally sufficient. I believe that the Bible teaches the sufficiency of Jesus. The word sufficiency means the complete absoluteness of everything that God has done for us in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is, many of us, would wonder, what in the world is he talking about? Well, what about these Pharisees? Here are some of these elementary teachings. These false believers, what did they believe? Let me just unpack this. Number one, they believed in repentance based upon good works. That's what the Bible here says. It says, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works. Here's what Paul said in his letter to the church at Ephesus. He put it like this. Listen carefully. For by grace are you and I saved through faith, not of ourselves, not of works, lest any of us should boast. So where do works come into this? Works are the products of our genuine faith in Christ. We dig wells. We do everything we can to give a cup of soup to someone who's hungry. We provide clothes. We go and help people who are dying of the Ebola virus in Africa by the hundreds. We will do anything for our fellow man, not in order to be saved, because that's the elementary teaching, but because we are saved. Are you getting it? Are you listening? That's what happened to them. They believed, they were false believers. They believed in a repentance based upon works. Number two, they believed in faith based on allegiance to God. Goodness, that sounds off the charts. Well, look what he says here. Faith toward God. Do you know that it's not good enough in God's economy just to believe in God? Now, I'm going to really shock some of you folks. You ready for this? Are you ready for this? Do you know that Satan believes in God? I'm telling you, Satan believes. The Bible tells you, of course he believes in God. Why would someone work so hard to oppose someone that he didn't believe in? My favorite thing, you know, atheists always come up and say there's no God. I remember Madeleine Murray O'Hare, one of the most well-known of all atheists in American history, would go to incredible lengths to write books and to enter into debate and argument. It always seemed to me somewhat rather strange that someone who believed that God didn't exist would spend so much time and energy trying to disprove someone that they didn't believe existed to begin with. Well, in America today, folks, many, many people, I'd say, I don't know, I'm not a statistician, but I think you'd all agree with me that most people in America believe in God. The Bible says that's elementary. You see, God is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus. So the first question you've got to ask in is exactly this. Well, then who is God? I heard someone on television recently talking about some kind of spiritual formation in terms of God. And this person said these exact words, said, well, by whatever definition he or she calls herself, or by whatever name, or by whatever manner in which he or she or it may present itself, sure, I've got faith in God. That's not a Christian faith. That's what these people were struggling with. In fact, the book of Acts in chapter 4 and verse 12, the Bible says that salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. So here's elementary teaching. This identifies the fake believer. This is what they found themselves in here in this day and age. It's no different to our own day and age. Number one, repentance based upon good works. Number two, faith based on allegiance to God. Here's a third one. Identification with God based upon ceremonial cleansing. Wow. Just look at that text there again with me. And of instructions about washing. Some of our texts there even use the word baptism. By the way, if your text there uses the word baptism, that word baptism is not the same word as believer's baptism. It's the word washings. You and I witness that. I have profound and great respect and love for the Jewish people. You can go to Israel today. Everywhere you go related to Israel, you'll find people doing ceremonial washings and cleansings. But it's not just limited to the Jewish religion. In many other religions today, people will come into churches and they will go through some kind of ceremonial cleansing, tying themselves back into the Levitical system of Exodus 30 and Leviticus chapter 16. But the problem is here, folks, this is what God is trying to say. Yes, there may be nothing wrong with washing your hands or washing your body before you worship the Lord or participate in something relation to spiritual worship, but the new covenant calls not for an outer washing and a cleansing, but an inner washing. Listen to what Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 says. That Jesus Christ saved us, not because of righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He's not finished. That's what he said, Titus 3, 5. Read it for yourself. Jesus saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit. Here's how it works. In other words, what the writer is saying, God is saying this, listen, you and I need to lay aside all these ritualistic things that we do, that we consider our access into God's presence. We need to lay aside all of these religious beliefs and indoctrinations and traditions, and we need to come to understand that when Jesus comes into our hearts, that the Holy Spirit comes upon us and he washes us and he cleanses us and he forgives us and he presents us as righteous before a holy and a righteous God. Wow!
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton, and he'll be back with the completion of today's message, Real Believers, in just a moment. But Dr. Don wants me to remind you, we're here for you. We're connecting at 866-899-WORD, not just now during the broadcast, but 24 hours a day. If you're interested, jot the number down. Store it in your cell. We'd love to pray with you anytime at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Again, that's 24 hours a day, or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. One of the exciting things that have been taking place lately is folks that are getting more connected to us on social media. If you're on social media, we are as well, whether it's Dr. Don's personal Instagram and Twitter, who he welcomes you to follow and get connected with, or our ministry one. You can find all the links from Facebook to Instagram to Twitter right there on our website at theencouragingword.org. I encourage you to get a little closer. One of the exciting things is seeing how Dr. Don's son, Rob, is planting a church in Pittsburgh, or his other son diving into missions. He's been overseas for a couple of years, then back in the States for a while. He's got an exciting new passage of mission that's going on in his life for Greg and his daughter overseas with a wonderful organization you may be familiar with, Samaritan's Purse. And seeing his family in ministry and Dr. Don in ministry will help you understand a little bit more about how passionate he is for God's encouraging word. You will be encouraged. Now let's dive back into today's message, Real Believers, with Dr. Don Wilton.
It's an amazing thing. Look what he's saying here. Leave the elementary doctrines of Christ. Go on to the true meaning of salvation. Go on to perfection. Go on to maturity. Don't take hold of these things. Stop it. And for these people, repentance based on good works and faith in God is determined by allegiance to God. What about identification with Christ based upon ceremonial cleansing? He goes on further. Number four, identification with God based on the laying on of hands. Oh, man. You know what these people did? Back here in the New Testament, they would bring sacrifices to the temple. Now, I've been to the temple many times. Great study. Wonderful. These people, under the leadership of their rabbis, these Hebrews to whom this letter was written, they would bring literally call them relics, if you like, things. And they would bring these sacrifices. Sometimes they would be in the form of an animal, a dove or a sheep or something like that. Other times it would be in like artifacts, pieces of cloth, corners of something, little bits of wood, stone from a street where somebody walked down, a bottle of water from the Jordan River. And they would bring these things into the temple. And when they brought them into the temple, what they would do is they would lay their hands upon it. And the laying on of their hands was symbolical of them saying to God, "This is the sacrifice which is sufficient for my sin." That's insufficient, because Jesus is all sufficient. Jesus is the sacrifice. Jesus is the substitute sacrifice for our sin. The laying on of hands, as far as God is concerned in Christ Jesus, is meaningless. It leads to death. And if you've grown up in a system where your whole life is bent toward these elemental things, number five, spiritual life is based on the resurrection of the dead. Do you know these Pharisees believed in life after death? Listen to what Jesus said. I wish I could read this whole passage to you. Here's what Jesus had to say about the Pharisees and their very strongly held belief in the resurrection of the dead. Matthew 23, verse 27, he said, "Woe to you Pharisees," called them hypocrites. "You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside they are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy." It's what he's talking about when he talks about the fact that there are really people who believe in the elemental teachings concerning our access into the throne of God through these means. This cannot give us salvation. This can do nothing for us. It's an impressive list. There's a sixth one there, special favor with God based upon the strong belief in eternal judgment. You can go around America today. Every second person will tell you they believe everybody's going to be held accountable somehow one day in some form or another. It's not a big issue in America today. There are few real fatalists. There are people who believe, you know, you live this world and you die and it's gone. But most people just know in their hearts that you're going to pay for your actions. There's an eternal judgment. God's word saying, listen, man, you can have an impressive list of beliefs, but you're not a real believer. And that's what I love about verse 3, because in verse 3, the writer says, with God's help, we will lay these things aside. Look what he says. You look at it for yourself. "And this we will do, God permitting." That little word there is, we use that little symbol DV, God willing, God permitting, with God's grace. In other words, what God is saying here, what the writer is saying here is, listen, man, these things are so ingrained in me. You don't seem to understand, Lord. I've grown up like this. This is what my parents taught me. This comes from my church. This is my culture. I was born this way. I've always held on to all of these elementary teachings about Christ. But with God's help and by His grace, I'm going to grow up. I'm going to take hold of you. I'm going to cling to the cross. Because in the following verses there, in verse 4, 5, and 6, what he just simply does is he just gives us a picture of what you and I look like as real believers. He says, listen, real believers, the genuine person, the one who has a relationship with Christ, there are four things that every believer can say. Number one, you have been enlightened. That's in verse 4. That little word's a beautiful word. It means that God switched the light on. God did it. It's the work of salvation. It's the act of regeneration, resulting in conversion. You repented of your sin. You confessed that sin to Jesus. You believed in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. You are saved, not by anything else, not by works, not by anything you've done, not by your upbringing, not by your birth, not by your culture, not by your church, not by what your preacher said or your priest said or your rabbi said or your evangelist said. You're saved by the grace of God. It is Jesus who has saved you. Isn't that a fantastic thing to think about? This takes you and me beyond the level of normality. It allows me to be taken up into the galactic sphere of God's abode. That's what this is. You've been enlightened. Number two, you've tasted the heavenly gift. Wow, what a beautiful phrase. You know that you know that you know that you know that you know. It's something far greater that boggles your mind has taken place, because it's taken place in your heart and life. There's a demonstrable change. You've been changed from inside out, not because you wash your hands or because you participate in a Lord's Supper service or because you've got a relic or you go through some ritual or because you give your money to the poor, because you're involved in a very good act of God's grace, but because you've been saved, you have tasted the heavenly gift. Number three, you've shared the Holy Spirit. Hear what he's doing in verse 4 and 5, is he's just telling us the common denominator of all believers, that all of us have the same Spirit in us, because there's one Lord, one faith, one Spirit, one baptism. There's only one God, and he's the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But number four, you've tasted the goodness of God's Word. Isn't that amazing? I'm going to give you a big clue right now whether you've reached that level of perfection and maturity. Do you understand what God's been saying today? You do? There it is. That's the Spirit. These are deep things. This is deep stuff, folks. This is not a drive-by shooting. This is not driving up for some fast food. This is not some little easy solution. This is not telling me that if I want to be forgiven, I need to run around the church 7 times and recite a prayer. That's elementary teaching. This is the real stuff. This is about real believers. And what God is warning us about, he's saying, those who cling to these things as a mark of their perfection will fall away. They were no different than those Israelites who went through the wilderness and they witnessed the great power of God in the wilderness, and yet they still did not know him. This is a call to move away from the elementary teachings about Christ and accept the essential elements of salvation in Christ.
Moving from the elementary to the essential. Oh, I pray that God has stirred your heart about what it is to understand not only the joy of salvation, but the security in your salvation. Know that we'd love to pray with you and for you. If God stirred your heart to a decision, let's talk about it. 866-899-WORD is our phone number. That is 866-899-9673, or let's connect online at theencouragingword.org. Before we get away, a couple of more thoughts from our pastor and chief encourager, Dr. Don Wilton.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm so happy to hear that. Why don't you pray this prayer with me today? Dear God, I know that you love me very, very much. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on a cross so that I might be forgiven of my sin. Today, I repent of my sin. I confess my sin to you, and I invite you to come into my heart and into my life by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. If you've prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to welcome you to the family of God. This is wonderful. I hope that you know how much I'm going to be praying for you and how very important this is for me. Call us so that we can talk to you and connect you in the right place so you can begin this wonderful journey. And in just a moment, I'm going to come back with a final word.
If God stirred your heart, if the Lord has changed you from the inside out because of the power of the gospel, the truth of his word, oh, I pray you'll share that news with someone this week. You need to tell people about what God's doing in your life. And one of the people we'd love for you to tell, peoples, I guess it is us at The Encouraging Word. Matter of fact, Dr. Don would love to hear from you. His email is simple to remember. It's Don, D-O-N, at theencouragingword.org. That's our website, theencouragingword.org. It's a little long, but it's simple when you begin to think of theencouragingword.org. And his email, again, is just Don at theencouragingword.org. He would love to hear how God's working in your life. And remember, we stand ready to pray with you and for you 24 hours a day at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And one of the things we pray with friends about all the time is the assurance of their salvation, the knowledge that you know that you know that you know that you belong to Jesus Christ. And Dr. Wilton has a unique and wonderful book about that called Totally Secure.
You know, in all my years of sitting at the feet of Dr. Billy Graham, he said this to me. He said, Don, the most important thing in life is to know that you belong to Jesus. And then he said, the second most important thing is that you know that you belong to Jesus. He encouraged me to write this book, Totally Secure, to help you find the answers to these important questions. That's why he endorsed this book of mine. I want you to have a copy of this book. I want you to have the assurance that you are going to heaven. Please pick up the telephone right now and call the number on the screen and request your personal copy of Totally Secure. The Encouraging Word broadcast ministry is supported by viewers and listeners just like you who want to make a difference in the world. So thank you for requesting my book, Totally Secure. Your financial support enables us to continue moving forward for Christ.
Our phone number again is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. That's theencouragingword.org. I hope you'll join us for tomorrow's edition of The Encouraging Word. Dr. Don is moving to a unique message on only one Savior. We'll talk about it, pray about it, and connect tomorrow at this same time here on The Encouraging Word with Dr. Don Wilton.
I ordered one of your devotionals. A teacher friend of mine came that day and was having problems with three of her boys in her class. I felt that she really needed the devotional, so I gave her mine. And she took it as a treasure and assured me that she would take the time to read it every day. Praise the Lord. She needed that encouragement, and I know that devotional will keep her encouraged every day as she draws closer to the Lord and hides God's Word in her heart.
That's just one of many talking about how God is using the Daily Encouraging Word Bible Guide to strengthen their life. You can get your copy by signing up online right now at theencouragingword.org or just text the word DAILY to 30500. Till next time, take care and God bless.